Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more.
Hosted by Duchess and Yura. Like the way I did that, huh?
Yeah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very well. I really am doing well. I feel great. It's something about hearing that intro, that little beat by DJ Epsilon. That's called Space Soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to Tarni, the voiceover from Tarni, that just, I don't know, it just lifts my spirits. I can be walking around all day just like boo, 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 boo. And when I hear that, my spirit soar. So how you doing out there, Yehura? It's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. I'm just doing wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. No S-N-O-W, like they have in
right?
other parts of the United States. And
uh-huh.
It's, what, less than 60 days before spring? How wonderful.
Hello, Yehura. I wrote that down.
I know you would.
60, I got it. I got this.
Okay.
It's 46 days, you know. Less than 6, that sounds like a lot. It's 46 days, you know.
And
okay?
Spring will be.
That's like a little, just a teeny bit over a month, right?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm real happy. Now we got to get through February, because February usually does a job.
Mm-hmm.
With the snow, but we'll get through that. How was your week?
It was great. Very productive, very productive. And it's great.
Well, I took my 10-year-old granddaughter out for her golden birthday. A lot of people don't celebrate goldens, but your golden birthday is when you turn, your age turns to the same date as your birthday. In other words, she was 10 on the 10th.
Right. Okay, golden
yeah, so
age.
She was 10 on the 10th of
mm-hmm.
January, and so we celebrated. I really celebrated our golden, took her out to dinner, took her to buy a couple of things, shopping, you know, let her pick whatever she wanted, two outfits, and, you know, we spent a lot of time. She has her own set of oracle cards. So I let her do her own little oracle thing and energize her cards. We had a good time. Took her to the movies the next day. And so, who knows? Maybe she'll remember this forever.
I'm
what
sure
Grandma
she will.
Did on her golden birthday.
Golden so. Birthday.
Right. And I think we're going to have a pretty good show this evening. We're going to talk about histories. Ours and yours out there, if you care to join us. I was reading Neil Donald Walsh. He's the author of Conversations with God, the Conversations with God book series, and they're really, really great books. So he's done a number of books, but he's well known by Conversations with God. And he said, quote, on this day of your life, I believe God wants you to know that the world is so much brighter, so much better because you are in it. If only you knew all the gifts that you bring to others, you would never feel sad again, but only rejoice in how wonderful God has made you. I would not say these things just to make you feel good. The things I've said here happen to be true, unquote. And so we know that we have a history, all of us, and the United States will be celebrating February as Black History Month. But I think Yehura and I wanted to share some of our own personal histories because we each have a history, and that history that each of us has is to be celebrated along with all these famous people celebrating their history, let's celebrate our own histories this month as well. So, Yehura,
mm-hmm.
Where were you born and raised? Where did your history begin?
I was conceived in Lewisburg, North Carolina, and I was born in Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that on my father's side, his mother was from the West Indies. I understand that my maternal grandfather, they had Native American heritage running through their blood. So it's a combination. I did the ancestry test a few
mm-hmm.
years ago using my mother's side, and I came out 100% European.
I want to do that test.
Yeah, I'll send you the information.
I've heard about that test.
But that was from my mother's side, and like I said, there was Native American blood in her veins.
Well, we might be relatives.
Yeah, I feel we all connected.
Well,
everyone, all 7 billion that live on this planet, we are connected by spirit, by breath, by just being. We are.
Okay, well, I want to put myself in connection with you a little bit closer than all the billions all over the earth. Because my mother has the Native American culture running through her veins, and they come up from the southern portion of the United States of America. Now, on my father's side, we have my father's mother and father are the Caribbean. They're the Puerto Ricans. They're the West Indian side of me. And one of the listeners was hoping that before the month is out, we would do something on the Orishas, the Yoruba traditions, and the celebration of the Orishas, those are the African gods and goddesses, and that's for another show. But a lot of that culture is mixed in with the traditions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that we may be a little bit more closely related than the billions of breathing the same air types of relationships and spirit that you're talking about. I'm talking about humanistic relations.
And I see that in our physical appearance. Both of us have the round faces, and I know that's an attribute in Yoruba, the Yoruba.
Yeah.
Side. Yeah.
Yes. I did tell you that I had a roots reading, and I was told that I came through my father's lineage or my father's energy, and he's Yoruba, and my mother's line is Dahomey. So we have a lot of shared history from the motherland as well.
Right, that's right. In fact, when you said that, Dahomey, I was at the University of D.C. Years ago, and there was someone from that. And when he saw me, he told me, "You're from my tribe."
Ah.
Uh-huh.
That's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful.
Right.
Now, let's get a little bit closer to these United States of America. I was born and raised in Harlem, New York. And those of us who were born in Harlem, we say that. We don't say we're born in New York, New York, or Manhattan, New York. We say we were born in Harlem, even though there are those five boroughs there. Harlem is, that's a culture unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I even danced at the Apollo when I was a kid. We danced, and I met Ruby Dee at the Apollo at that time. And I was around when there were the Black Panthers. You know, they talked about the Black Panthers being the militants and how they were wreaking havoc, you know, all over New York. Well, you know, as far as my knowledge of the Black Panthers, they were kind, they were loving, and they fed poor children. So they would have the lunch programs, and they were the ones that brought those into Manhattan for the children, more into Harlem. I was there when Malcolm X, you see the movie Malcolm X,
mm-hmm.
when they were marching on the police station,
mm-hmm.
I was there. I lived on 120th Street, the police station was on 123rd Street. I was three blocks up. And so I even had an ex Yehura.
Oh.
When I grew up, yes, I joined the Nation of Islam. My family followed suit, including my mother, and I have an ex.
Oh.
So, well, I had an ex until I chose my got my chosen name.
Okay.
So there's a lot of history that I hold and I embrace. I did the marches on Washington for welfare rights back in the day. And, no, I wasn't there with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but I was well aware of the goings-on because Harlem was considered like one of the central areas of knowledge, of knowing things right around in there, you know? So I got a lot of history. My name's on a lot of stuff down there in the past, in the archives of New York City.
Great.
Specifically Harlem.
Do you think you were there at the, what's the name of that theater? Well, the Apollo Theater, when Stevie Wonder was there, when he made his first appearance? I was there. Were you there on the stage with him, dancing?
I don't know. You know, I don't think I was there for that.
Okay, well, I was there doing that. But I just love the Harlem Renaissance, the, what's his name, the photographer, Van Der Zee. I love his work.
Mm. Well, my family were a family of dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, she danced at the Savoy. She danced at the Savoy. She and her brother and one of her very, very dear friends, they won first prize at the Savoy. So she's in history. And when I say history, our history, those things, not only that we remember, but those things that have our signature on it. You know, somewhere in some archived book is my mother's name for winning first prize dancing at the Savoy.
Wow.
You know, dancing at the Savoy. And then I moved on, a part of my history. I moved on to Utah. That's where I went to college. And when I got to Utah, we're in one of the college books, the catalogs, history.
Mm-hmm.
One of the catalogs in Utah. Because we assisted with the first African-American designed float in the homecoming parade, and we won first prize.
Very good.
So that's in an archive. We had the first black homecoming queen that year that our float won, and it was great. And then during that time in Utah, I remember getting the Pioneering Community Service Award that was granted to me or given to me by the Muslims, and I had to fly to New York to get this award. And then my name appeared in the Deseret Times, the Utah newspaper. And that was history because 2 days after they put my picture in the newspaper in Utah about having received this award by the American Muslims, the Mormon leader, Mr. Kimball, decided that all of these years, blacks were not allowed to be in the Mormon religion. But once he saw that I was getting ready to start a mosque, a Muslim mosque for black Muslims in Utah, 2 days later, there was an announcement that he got a revelation and that blacks could join the Mormon church, and they would be called the Genesis Group. I found that very interesting.
Very good. It is.
And I find that interesting today that I'm a part of that history, you know? So, come on.
Wow, you are somebody. You are somebody.
You know, sometimes when I look back at my past, I think of me as Forrest Gump. It's like, whoa. You know, Forrest Gump.
Run,
and he
run,
went through
run.
History, putting
yeah.
his signature here and there. Run,
mm-hmm.
Forrest, run.
Run, Forrest.
So, yeah. And then I left Utah. And I eased on up the road. And I got my, in Rhode Island, I was appointed to the State Commission on Universal Health Care. And I call it my Academy Award because I was honored by the United States Small Business Administration
mm-hmm.
for, they had this big, huge banquet. And I was sitting on the dais with Senator Patrick Kennedy on one side and the mayor on the opposite side of me. And I was being awarded for Minority Small Business Advocate for the state of Rhode Island. And I had won for the New England region as well in that category. And I remember saying to Senator Kennedy, you know, what am I going to say when I get up there?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just as nervous as me. You know, I mean,
yeah.
he's a man that speaks all the time. He was just as nervous as me. And then when I got up and I said, this is like receiving, if I had ever dreamed of receiving the Academy Award, I would say this is how it would feel.
Oh.
Because it was a huge banquet. And
mm-hmm.
everybody was there. And when I sat down, he looked at me, he said, way to go. That's the way to go. You thank everybody.
That's right.
Thank everybody, you know. He
Very
said,
good.
You can't go wrong with your thanks. And I gave thanks to everybody. And I remember that.
And look how far you've come. Look
mm-hmm.
how far you've come.
And that was a result of me having founded, and I was CEO of my own business,
mm-hmm.
Waiheke Cooperative Enterprises, is what the reason why I was given these two awards, because I set up this business in Rhode Island Community Development Corporation to help low and moderate income people become economically self-sufficient, and I loved it.
Is the program still in effect now?
It's on the shelf.
Okay.
It's a nonprofit with 501c3 status, so it's tax exempt, and I keep it incorporated every year in the state of Rhode Island, and every year I do my 990 form. I send it to IRS so I can maintain the tax exempt status. It can be activated at any time I choose. I just haven't chosen to reactivate it because I haven't found anything important to reactivate it and allow it to do. So, but yeah.
So from the things you just shared with us, the world has become brighter and better because you were in it. You were in it to help with all of that. You helped those folks.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, when you put it that way, most of what I ever did was for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their growth. Back in Utah, when we were doing the college thing, we had a Saturday school where we would have Saturday classes for the little Chicano kids, and some of them didn't even know what it was to use a toothbrush. Or even have a toothbrush. So I used to teach the health class, and I would tell them that the apple is nature's toothbrush. So you get a hold of an apple, you know. The apple is a good way to clean your teeth and massage your gums. Those were the little things that we used to do. But, yeah, I have this love for people. And when I came to Virginia, I worked at Harpers Ferry Job Corps for a short term, and I had 50 incorrigible females from the ages of 16 to 24 well, from D.C., Baltimore, all over the place. And I love them because nobody else did. But I love them because I saw past the hardness and I saw past, you know, the streetness, because to me, they were me and I was them, because I grew up in the streets of Harlem. I grew up, so I knew what it was to grow up rough, tough, and to have that protective shell around you. And deep down inside, there was this heart of gold. But you only let a few people through there. But, yeah. I love
Great.
It.
Very good. So your journey has been quite remarkable.
So tell me about Miss Louisiana, because have you gone back there?
Louisiana? Not Louisiana. Lewisburg, North Carolina.
Oh, I thought you said Louisiana.
No.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong.
No,
wrong
Lewisburg, North Carolina. Yeah, I've been back, not in a while, but I used to go down there during the summers to visit my grandparents. And my grandparents were next-door neighbors. And my maternal grandfather worked closely with Dr. Martin Luther King. The Ku Klux Klan had been putting oil in the wells and the drinking, you know, where we get our water. I do remember one story where Martin Luther King was at my granddad's, and my baby sister went up to see my grandfather, and it's a funny story. So my grandfather says, "Martin, today is my granddaughter's birthday." So Dr. King gave my baby sister like a $5 bill, which was big money during those days. And she was just so excited, and she went straight to the candy store. I mean, what can you do? You're 6 years old. That's what you do. That's what you do. But I remember when Dr. King was in the D.C. area, he was at a school. And most of the time I'm very obedient, but I snuck out the house to go see him at a school. And that was kind of rewarding. Well, it was rewarding for me. When I lived in California, I interviewed Desmond Tutu and wrote an article for the church I was attending there. Let's see, who else in my little world? Oh, in Oakland they have the Oscar Mouché Awards. They're similar to the Academy Awards, and I got a chance to meet and escort, what's his name, Glenn Thurman. And I told Glenn at the time, I said, "Glenn, when I grow up, I want to be a star like you." He says, "Yuhara, you're already a star."
Yes, you are.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, you are.
I've been honored by the Chamber of Commerce in Oakland. And you know how people, I consider myself sort of like a phoenix. Before there was praise dancing, I was doing that in Oakland during the late 70s, early 80s. Now we have telecommuting where you can work at home. I was doing that, and it was coined as a cottager, electronic cottager. You work from home. That was during the 80s. So I think of myself as being sort of a trailblazer. The TV show Love Boat, you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Isaac's mother, Jerry Lange, she was one of my mentors in California, and she gave me the term, quote, unquote, poet laureate of California. That's when I, in my heyday, when I used to write poems a lot. So I've met Gwendolyn Brooks and Doug Wilder, Rosalind Cash, Stevie Wonder. So it's been a good journey.
Yes.
Been a good journey. Shirley Chisholm still had on those high heels, and I know she was in her 70s. But she was wearing them. But you look back over your life, and you see I was one of the first women of color to be the keynote speaker at a graduation in Richmond, at a proprietary school.
Right.
So I see my steps. As we're talking now, I see the steps I've climbed.
Yeah, we have arrived, have we not?
And so many lives that you just touch. I remember teaching a computer class in Richmond, and one woman, she was just so intimidated by these machines, and I broke it down to her. I said, well, you know, like 5,000 years ago, somebody created the lead so we could write with a lead pencil. This is just an extension of that. And when I saw her PowerPoint project, I cried. I was just so proud of her. So you just don't know how many lives you touch.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You really don't. My son has always told me, because I'm always looking to move, because I'm in an apartment, not a house. If I'm in a house, then you know you're going to be there for a while because it's your house. And you would put things up on the walls and things, you know. You would put your memories all over the place. But I'm always in I'm going to move mode, not taking all this stuff out. And so for years I'll have all of my memories packed in boxes, just packed in boxes. And my son told me one day, he said, do you think those people who do win an actual Academy Award have their awards stuck in a box somewhere? You need to put your memories up on the wall so you can see your accomplishment and who you are and what you have been and, you know, and just remember all of that. Oh, before I go any further on this topic, before my young nieces and nephews and family members get on me, they need to know that on my father's side, we're related to Alfonso Ribeiro. Okay?
Oh.
Carlton from The Fresh Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, we don't recognize each other as such, but he is. I went to a family reunion, and both our names were on the T-shirt, and he flew in from California for the family reunion. That's how I know we're related. Everybody loves Carlton, you know.
Yes.
So, and I guess if you look real close, you might see some kind of family resemblance.
Uh-huh.
But that's for the kids out there.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, very good. Oh, don't forget the disclaimer.
Okay. But first I'd like to know, can we hear from anyone else who would like to share their history, their historic experiences with us? It would be really, really, really nice for Yahura and I to hear from you. The number is 347. Well, if you're on the line already, all you have to do is press 1, and we'll see you, and we'll be able to talk with you and have you share with us. But in the meantime, we have a disclaimer. The information we share here will never be offered as medical advice and should not be considered medical advice or treatment nor religious doctrine, and is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified healthcare professional regarding any mental or physical health condition or treatment. Okay? Now, Yahura, before we go on, because not everyone has had a wonderful, wonderful past to remember. Some people have had their challenges. I've had my challenges. I just choose to today remember the positives. But there have been times when things have been a little difficult, or I face some challenges that even I may not even care to bring up to anyone. And we'll get into that in a minute. But before we close off the positive stuff, please talk about your book.
My book is called Beauty is More Than Skin Deep, Living with Eczema, the skin disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out maybe like 6-7 years now. And it talks about my journey of living with this disease for most of my life, and the ups and downs I've had to face with that, being ridiculed, being teased, not being able to do the dishes. That was a good thing in a way. But some things, you know, it's like, well, okay, she can't do the dishes. But in the wintertime, you can't wear wool. Certain foods you can't eat. So as my part of that, I learned about the National Eczema Association, which is based in California, San Mateo, California, and I've worked with them. I have a group leader here in Maryland, and she handles the parents and the children that are suffering with that, and I handle the adults. Mm-hmm. Because and 1 year I got called from somebody in India. Their niece had it really, really bad. But it's a book of a lot of information, good information. It tells you how to prevent, well, not prevent it because you can't prevent it, but it's not contagious. It can be a remission, like right now mine is in remission. But some of the things that you can do, a lot of children, they like to take these hot showers, and adults too. But that hot water is detrimental to your skin. When you take a shower or a bath, you'll have only 3 minutes to moisturize your entire body. And I use any kind of oil I can, coconut oil, almond oil, Crisco oil, whatever. But it's the book is like a self-help.
So
that if
you need to replenish your oil to your skin within 3 minutes
mm-hmm.
of getting out of the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder
mm-hmm.
I'm walking around here feeling all dried out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that puts the moisture back into your skin. And there's certain soaps that you should use or should not use. I use a lot of oatmeal soap. I'm going to go to the health store, Whole Food, or Mom's and get a bar of oatmeal soap. But it's very informative, and it tells you, like it lets people know you're not alone. I had one lady call me. She was 82 years old, and she says, well, I guess God knew what he was doing because I don't have that long to itch.
Whoa.
So anyway, but thanks for asking about that.
Right, tell people
and it is on Amazon.
They can get your book.
Pardon?
They can get the book if they want to read it.
It's on Amazon.com. Beauty is More Than Skin Deep, Living with Eczema.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about those of us who may not have had a past or a history of that we can be proud of or happy of or feel, or we may feel there's something that we want to hide. I was reading an article that Ken Page is an empath. He's a futurist. He's an intuitive. And he is an old soul light worker, healer, the type of person that we're all aspiring to be as we go into this new earth energy. And he teaches self-empowerment and creatorship.
Hmm.
And he basically was sharing that all of us, we have daily reactions to something or someone. And he talks about how stress presents us with many types of emotional responses, and our emotional reactions are caused by sparks or triggers, and how, I guess, what can I say? Oh, he was saying how Deepak Chopra, and I heard Deepak Chopra say this. I went to a workshop, and he says this all the time. He says that the average person has 60,000 thoughts each day. Now, I don't know who sits around counting this stuff. You know, every thought that's going through a person's mind. How do they measure things like that? And he says 90% or 54,000 of those thoughts are from yesterday, the
mm-hmm.
past.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. He said if this is considered, then we have, 19,710,000 thoughts every year, then you multiply that by 5 years, which I didn't bother to do because anybody want to multiply that, they can do it. And he goes on to say that if you take that number and you multiply it 10 times, wow, now you know how many thoughts are running through your brain and driving you nuts. Yahora, are you there?
Mm-hmm. I'm listening. I'm in awe. My mouth is wide open. That many.
Right. Yahora, it looks like someone was on the line and wants to say howdy to us. And I think we need to open up the line because that would be fun to do. You ready?
Yes, hit it.
Okay. Hi, caller. This is Duchess, and I really am sorry if I acted like I was ignoring you. But you're on the air. Would you like to say something to us?
I assume you're talking to me.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't hear anyone else saying anything. I have no idea who else might be waiting.
I'm talking to an area code 301, and you're on the line, and would you like to tell us where you're calling from? And
yes, I'm calling from Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And in reference to Gwen's discussion, Yahora Gwen's discussion on her early on struggles with, what is that you suffer with all the time?
With the eczema?
Your book, Eczema.
Mm-hmm.
Senior moment. I witnessed that firsthand. When Yahora would come to North Carolina and visit us, I'm a very close relative of hers, and witnessed this firsthand. And I know what she went through during the early years of her life with that struggle. And from then until now, and she has done so much to help herself by research, study, prayer, meditation. She's taught me so much about those kind of things.
Right.
And I have a couple of years on her. But, you know, the Bible says that we can learn from the younger ones as well as they learn from us. So, she had to write the book. That's the point that I wanted to make. She had to, because I believe it was both cathartic and therapeutic for her in her adult years, for something that she really endured and persevered with. Strong lady. She comes from very strong women. She endured with this thing for many, many years. So I just wanted to insert that we're proud of her and the book, and everybody should get a copy and read it. Particularly if you have that problem in your family, or if you are suffering from the disease, eczema yourself. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And Yahora, you have a powerful history.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
What did you say, ma'am? I didn't get that.
I said she does have a powerful history. Anytime you can sit down and write a book about...
And I'm a living witness.
Your challenges, your pain, your hurt, the things that you go through, that's a powerful history. That's history.
Well, that's what helps to shape and make us.
Absolutely.
And it has made her into, like I said, a very strong woman who just accepts life and lives life to its fullest in spite of what she has been going through with that eczema and still going through it. So I admire her.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Auntie.
Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome. I did not disclose that. All right, I'm off.
Okay. Oh, Yahora, that was wonderful.
Yes, it was.
All righty. So, let's talk to some others out there that may have had some types of challenges in their past that they want to work through. And like the caller said, one of those ways is to write about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, back to what Deepak Chopra was saying about all of these thoughts that we have, these billions and trillions of thoughts. A lot of those thoughts are thoughts of regret, disappointment, dreams, or wishes unanswered. Then there's, you know, the hurtful words from people who say nasty things to you or about you, or anger. And then how about hunger and pain and death? And don't forget emotions that today can be triggered by one simple word or feeling. I mean, you can say one simple word to somebody and it'll trigger something that happened to them 15, 20 years ago. And it immediately throws us back into a past remembrance. There's that thought. And these numbers represent only our own thoughts. They do not include the thoughts, opinions, how about emotional projections of anyone else in our lives. Okay?
Okay.
50% of the emotions we hold within us are not even our own.
No, they're not.
That's heavy. That's powerful.
That's ridiculous. Why are you holding on to somebody else's thing?
Mm-hmm. They belong to other people in our lives, like parents, siblings, friends, relationships, coworkers, neighbors, our community, and our country. You know, you wake up in the morning, you read the news, and you got the emotion of somebody that was in a road rage incident. You know, now you're on guard while you're driving, thinking about, you know, well, what would I do if so-and-so-and-so did something like that to me?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't even happen to you, but you got it in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
how long
does it take? Go ahead. Were you
as
saying
the late
something?
Dr. Maya said today, I was watching the program on the OWN station, you bring all that poison, toxic in your, those through words. They come on your being, they come on your clothes, they come on your wall. You don't want that around you. You
right.
don't want the toxic word because it's just poison. You don't want that poison around you. So as some people have to go.
I knew a couple. One of them worked in the old folks, well, that's what we called it. They worked in a nursing home. There's a lot of, you know, elderly people, and not everybody has the best of moods in those elderly nursing homes. And then they were married to someone who worked in a prison facility. They were a corrections officer in a prison facility. And I said to them, when you come home, you know, maybe you should take off your clothes at the door and then jump in the shower and get all of that energy off of you, like Yuhura is saying. You know, that energy is attached to you, and people don't realize that energy attaches. It attaches like little umbilical cords. That didn't even look right. But it attaches itself to you.
It does. Think
so
of it
when
like
does
magnet.
The number of past emotions begin to overwhelm us? How long does it take for the emotions of our yesterdays to compound until our emotional body breaks down? How about what? Is it when we feel exhausted and go to bed? Now, a shower is a good thing, Yuhura, you know, for you to imagine all the challenges of your day. We're
mm-hmm.
talking your personal day. That's every day forward, going forward. But let's continue talking about what about all the things that are attached to you from your past? From your past. Or do we continue feeling and carrying everything until our physical body reacts to this burden and it gets sick or diseased? There are so many people walking around who have disease or dis-ease because of their past,
yeah.
things that happened to them in the past that they can't let go. You know, do we have to be lying in the middle of the road waiting for something to cut us or run us over before we do something for ourselves? So what exactly, you know, I mean, what's going on here? When do we realize that we must release our past in order to create a different future? Now, we're not talking about those of us who may have had a past that was pleasant and memorable to look back on and say, whoa, because our past, like we say in the title of our show, our past is our history and it's our wisdom. But we're talking about those painful times. So, Kim Page has, he's an intuitive, and he says, if you lighten your vibration, you can change your past. You can change all that's carried over into your today that you've been holding on to and you need to let go.
Let go. Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, I don't know whether you remember or your audience remembers the movie South Pacific when the lady's washing her hair and she says she had a bad breakup. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair and send him on his way.
I remember that.
All the dirt that's coming off of me is going right in that sink, into the river, never to return again.
Oh, and don't forget the children's new movie, Frozen, Let It Go. That song is so popular because it says, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And we can. But it's up to each and every one of us to work on ourselves. Yahuwah and I can tell you to let it go, but you've got to work on yourselves. And in a few, I'm going to give you some example, an example of how Ken Page says you can do this.
Great.
Because Ken Page has asked that I share this information with all of you out there. I want you to know this in case you were thinking that I was saying something that Ken Page said, but he asked that this be shared. He said, because it could save your life or the lives of those you love. One of the other things that he said as an intuitive, that we should not be attaching our thoughts on other people. We should not do that. He said, this exercise that he's going to share with you, it would take only about 5 to 10 minutes each day for you to change, to release the emotions that you have dragged around for your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Many individuals change their name. I had a name change after I got my ex, because back then we got the ex to get rid of the slave last name.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was my husband and I, we went through what was called at that time the Muslim name book, and we found a family name. And in choosing that family name, we chose that family name for what it meant, the vibration it carried, before we selected that and had that as our family name. And so you have a lot of cultures that give their children names because they want their children to grow into this name, to aspire to be this name, or this is something that they hope the child will carry on. Even Native Americans, when they name their children like Hawkeye, I mean, what does a hawk's eye signify? It signifies a grander view of the whole entire earth around it as this hawk soars and looks down upon everything. It has an open, wide vision. So when you look up a child's name, be careful what you're naming your child, because some of these names may not be what you want your child to be called, or you may not want the meaning of this name attached to the energy of the newborn child. I don't know how I got there, but
right.
It's something to think about.
Chardonnay and Ubiqua,
yes,
and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to have a meaning.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Some people like their drink, and that's what they call their child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know Yahara is freedom. Free.
I hear you. So,
got any more callers?
Mm-hmm.
Any more callers?
No, but we got a whole lot of listeners. That's a beautiful thing. That's just as beautiful. Okay.
Well, maybe someone will come up and share their story of what they've done in their lives as we celebrate them this month.
Right.
Don't be afraid.
Okay, back to Ken. If y'all don't want to talk to us, I'll tell you what Ken says for you to do. And maybe that's what they're waiting for. They want to know what Ken has to say about them changing the vibration of their path, of their past, without going into a legal court and changing their name.
Okay.
If you're into numerology, I can tell you that if I do my entire name, first, middle, and last, the numerological number that I get will be a total different vibration than if I do the numerology of my nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
The vibration changes. So Ken is recommending, what he's recommending is much easier. It's a safer way to become the lightest vibration you want. How many steps?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see. Not that many. It's okay.
Okay.
We got time.
Okay, good.
Always give us a little bit of time. Okay. Our name must be so light that no one else can project or even think about us and use our energy. This is cool. It's called the I Am technique. Now, Yeshua talked about I Am last show. This simple exercise is best used when you go to bed, before you go to sleep each night. It requires only about 3 minutes of your time and will help you change your vibration within 3 days. Continue use of this exercise each and every day will help you heal yourself and become a conscious creator. The first thing you do is write down 10 things that you love. Okay? Write down 10 things that you love, things that are perfect. And he gives some examples. He says where there are two things in his example, he said choose one for yourself. So the examples are one, the stars, the moon, the ocean, lakes, water. Number four could be the sunrise, its colors. Five, the sunset, its beauty. Six, nature, flowers, mountains, walking in the woods, gardening. Number seven, sleeping in on a rainy day or walking in the rain. Number eight, music, dancing, singing, reading. Number nine, travel, vacation, train rides or bus rides. Number 10, anything else in your life that you love. Just don't use anyone else. So don't put a person up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, okay.
And each night, say the same 10 things that you wrote down for yourself this way. I am the stars. I am the moon. I am the water. I am the sunset. I am the flowers. I am the mountains. I am music. I am dance. I am reading. I am travel. Then add this. I am, and put your first and last name. So I am Mary Jo. I am Duchess on the Air. I am Yahura. That's the last comment that you I am. Then start over again at the beginning. So you are saying the same 10 things you love, plus your name at the end. Don't show your 10 things to anyone. This is for you to change the vibration of your own name to its lightest potential. Your name now becomes a broader, more encompassing vibration, and no one in the world will think of you in this way. No one will be able to tap into your energy anymore.
That is
powerful. Sound good?
Yes. Yes.
Sounds, me too.
Ten things that you love, and then at the end, I am with your first name and your last name.
Absolutely.
Recite this every night before you go to bed.
Sounds good.
Sounds easy enough.
Right. So before we go, want to do a little animal medicine card?
Okay.
Okay, everybody, you know it's energy sending time. Give us some energy and we'll see what the animals have to say before we close the show. Tell me when you're ready.
Ready.
Okay. The animal we have today is the opossum. Wow. Opossum is symbolic of diversion. Opossum rollover, are you really dead or just playing opossum? Was it something I said? And we happen to pull it in the contrary, so that means card is upside down. And in the reverse position, opossum may be warning you against getting caught in the high drama of your life's present scenario. Close your eyes and dramatize. May keep you from seeing the truth of a situation. You may buy into melodrama in yourself or others. You might as well play dead if you are justifying what you are doing with a tragic victim routine. If this concept does not apply to your situation, take a look at the possibility that you may have recently been giving excuses for why you don't want to do something instead of telling the truth. In fearing to hurt someone's feelings, you may have trapped yourself in a justification pattern. I'm too sick. I'm too poor. I'm watching my weight. I'm too short, tall, sad, busy, tired, etc. If having to defend yourself with excuses, you may have lost the point. You don't have to defend your right to be. The exercise is in learning to politely say that something would not be appropriate for you at this time. That's all. You owe no one an excuse. Learn to imitate opossum and play dead, in the sense that the best strategy is no defense. In assuming the viewpoint of no defense, you have chosen the right to be who and what you are with no games involved. The proper use of diversion is to know when you do not need to use diversion at all. You owe no one an excuse for how you feel or what you choose to experience. And that is it for this week.
That was wonderful. You owe no one
an excuse.
Say that again.
You owe no one an excuse for how you feel or what you choose to experience. So you don't have to lie about it. Just say, you know, this is not something that, you know, I want to do. You know, this is not something. I'm getting ready to house it. And they, you know, these people, they're very generous when I go and spend 2 weeks house sitting for them. But the one thing I let them know, mm-hmm. I don't shovel snow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like to get someone else other than me, then I will not be offended. But I'm not shoveling. So if the blizzard comes, I'm not shoveling snow. So they're going to Hawaii, but
right.
I'm not shoveling their snow. Because I don't. My
okay.
children will come beat me up if I want to go out there and shovel some snow. You crazy, Mom. Oh.
Well, with that, we'll say aloha. Aloha.
And have a good night. And thank you, everyone, who called in. And
thank you so
thank
much.
Thank everyone who spoke. I'm enjoying this.
I am too. Okay. Namaste.
Namaste, everyone. And our next show will be on the 15th. And Yuhura, you say you're not going to be with me, huh?
No. If things change, I'll let you know.
I know you will.
I know.
Okay, everyone, stay blessed.
Okay.
Dutch is signing out.
And Yuhura. Bye-bye.
Night.